Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with James Barnett of Mann Global Research. We're coming to you today from 440 South LaSalle Street on the 20th floor, thanks to Mann Financial for hosting Commodity Week. Our panelists with us today, a distinguished crew from the Chicago Board of Trade and those who trade the futures market. Rich Feltus of Mann Financial is with us. He's a VP, a senior VP, along with the Director of Commodity Research here at Mann Financial. Tom Schuff is an independent grain trader at the Chicago Board of Trade and been on the floor for many years, along with Vic Lespinos of A.G. Edwards, who's also a floor trader. Let's start off the question, Nina, with this question. We'll begin with your view of the ethanol industry over the next 4 years in the United States.
More expansion. Continued increased demand for corn. But I think eventually, beyond 4 years, we'll be switching to other alternative sources for our fuel. So for the foreseeable future, we will be using corn and more. But eventually, I think we will switch to other things.
And that's Vic Lespinos with A.G. Edwards. Tom Schuff?
Well, I kind of agree with Vic, and I kind of disagree. I think that some of the reports that I've read say that the switchgrass and some of these alternative cellulistic products are years and years and years away. I don't mean 5 or 10 years, but longer than that. I think there's no question that ethanol is probably not the answer long-term as a replacement for fossil fuel. But right now, it's the best thing we have, and it's homegrown, and it's renewable. So I think ethanol continues to grow until Detroit comes up with a hydrogen cell or whatever they're working on. But I think in the next 5 to 6, 7 years, yeah, ethanol is here to stay.
And Rich Feltus of Mann Financial.
Well, just to pick up on Tom's comment about the cellulosic ethanol, it took the U.S. corn ethanol industry 13 years to get to 1 billion gallons of ethanol. And I had recently attended the USDA Outlook Conference, and one of the scientists from Texas A&M thought we could get there in 5 years. I think that's a tall order. At least the people that we're interacting with would suggest that the cellulosic, in terms of making a major contribution to biofuels production in the United States, is, as Tom suggested, at least 5 years off. But in the short term, with regards to corn and ethanol and its impact on our markets, it's a key driving force because unlike a one-year short crop situation, the ethanol demand is still in a rapid build-out phase, at least for the next 2 years. And with that in mind and the need for higher corn acres, ethanol is going to be a primary price driver here in Chicago.
Speaking of prices at the Chicago Board of Trade, this is the way things finished up for the week. Remember, we use the composites, the overnight and the day trade. We give you the high, the low, and the settlement from Friday to Friday. May corn futures up 3 cents this week at $3.69 with a high of $3.85 and a quarter. They're low at $3.49. December futures were up 8 and a quarter at $3.95. They had a high price of $4.06 and a low at $3.77 and three quarters. From the soft red winter wheat pit, that's where most of the action took place after the cold temperatures last week. Up 33.5 cents in the nearby May contract at $4.78 and a half, the high at $85 and a half, and the low at $4.41 and three quarters. July soft red winter wheat, this is your harvest month, up 31.5 cents on the week at $4.90, had a high of $4.99, a low at $4.62. Vic, what's your assessment of how much the wheat has been damaged in the Great Plains for the hard red winter wheat crop?
I'd say at least 50 million bushels, maybe 100 million. It's hard to know for now. Judging by the way the wheat market acted this week, though, the damage was significant. And Monday afternoon, we'll probably see another big drop in the weekly crop ratings for wheat. Also today, at least, funds were very big, aggressive buyers in wheat. They're short Chicago wheat. They covered. They bought maybe 15,000 wheat, and that helped push the wheat market higher, along with the expectations for significant damage from the last weekend's freeze.
On Friday afternoon during the closing market report, our guest here, Tom Shuff, told us that there was enough damage that this probably took wheat from a potential feed grain back to a food grain-only crop. Would you agree with that assessment, Rich? And if so, what's the outlook for the corn market?
Well, I agree that with Tom in the short term, the market cannot afford right now to be pricing wheat in as a feed grain until this uncertainty over frost damage can be accurately assessed. We've talked with a number of folks about it this week. The 50 to 100 million bushel loss numbers are freely floating on the floor and within the trade. But I think the old-timers that have been around a long time are still keeping their powder dry on this until we can actually move a little bit farther along in the growing season and accurately assess the damage. 1997 stands out as an analog year in which we had a severe frost in Kansas, sharply higher markets, forecasts of sharply lower production, only to see the Kansas wheat crop between the May, June, and July and final crop reports march steadily higher. But as Vic indicated, this is more of a soft wheat phenomena. We had a lot of the crop in the more vulnerable advance joint and or early heading stages. And so we're just going to have to sort it out. And in the meantime, in the short term, though, the wheat market, which has been short by the trend-following funds, is in a position to add back value until we have this sorted out.
Tom, I think I gave that out on you that you had taken this from a feed grain back to a food grain, but you were probably talking more in the short term as well, but maybe I didn't assess you quite right.
Well, I think that you're saying I've got a private report that I had done last week, and Kansas moderate to severe damage 35%, light to moderate 33%, 60%. Missouri 60% moderate to severe damage. Arkansas 78% moderate to severe damage. Mississippi 40%. Those are big numbers, and I think that wheat is grown on every continent, and wheat is consumed on every continent. You're having a growing problem in Australia. You're having a growing problem in the Black Sea, and you're having a growing problem in Europe with not enough rain. Let me say another way, a drought in those three areas, okay? And now we come along with the wheat market needing to grow wheat, and we've got this frost with wheat getting planted much earlier than normal, maturing, starting to mature. You've got the statistics I gave you were off wheat that was past the jointed stage. So I think that the wheat market's rallied some 80 cents off the bottom here in the last couple of weeks, and I think looking at some of the crop problems globally, now we won't know this damage for 2, 3, 4 weeks with this wheat crop. Again, like Rich said in 97, we had a record in Kansas, and we thought we killed the crop, and we had a record. So, the wheat's a weed, and it can come back, and it can retail itself. So remains to be seen. I think the big problem is there's a frost coming in this weekend in the hard wheat area, and people are very much concerned about that and about, again, potential damage.
When you look to the corn market now, with wheat in whatever condition it happens to be, how much fuel to the fire does this potentially add to the market? Can it rally in the spring time frame, even under conditions where the crop does get planted?
Well, the wheat market and the corn-wheat relationship was counting on wheat to contribute a substantial increase in feeding in 07-08. We see numbers 325, 350 million bushels for domestic U.S. feeding, and even more globally. All of that is going to be, as I said initially, held in question now until we sort out just what the damage is. The corn market, of course, in volume is a much larger crop than wheat. And as we go into this critical planning period, the corn market, it's going to be trading on its own issues and drivers, which initially will be the pace of planning, and then secondarily whether or not the market feels we can achieve this record historic year-to-year gain, highest ever gain in corn acres here in 07. We're going to need good weather to get all those corn acres in. The high price of corn would suggest to me that the farmers may extend somewhat their window, planting window, for allowing this corn to be planted in the ground. But this is the kind of year where, we're still going to be chained to the history that beyond the 15th of May, if we do have a substantial portion of the corn crop that's not in the ground, analysts are going to start shifting more acres over to soybeans. And that's going to be supportive to the corn. So we're really entering a important period. And I would point out here that irrespective of the vagaries in the day-to-day weather forecasts, Todd, the overall pattern in the weather in the central and eastern Corn Belt, really since last fall, has been wetter than normal. And until or unless that pattern changes, I think the market's going to be naturally nervous about being able to achieve this record gain in corn acres.
What kind of final number on total production for the United States are you working with at this point?
We are working with something, I think, at about 12.5 billion bushels. I am going to be using a corn yield 153, 154. There are some in the trade, including Informa, that are using corn yields up in the 157, 158 zone. Their crop is well over 13 billion. Their carryover at the end of 07-08 is over 1.6 billion bushels. For me right now, I think the market will be most comfortable starting with a trend-type yield, and then every morning when we come in here, we'll look at the weather and make a determination of whether or not that corn yield is improving or declining and its corresponding impact on next year's carryover. So the weather is going to be crucial, and it's a challenging time for traders and risk managers because as the summer advances, so does the proliferation of forecasts and disagreement amongst the forecasts in not only what's going to happen next week but just 2 days down the road.
I'll give you a different scenario. If you take the USDA from March estimate to final, the last 18 to 25 years they've been off. They've been up as much as 800 to a million acres. So assume they're a million too high right now. So we're now down to 89.5. Corn bean ratio when they took the survey was a record 1.75. Since then it's gone back out to a point. So take another million acres off. Okay. Now the weather has been a problem. Okay. For planting corn. So I'm going to work with 87.5 million acres, 80 million harvested, and 150 yield because the increase in the land has come in the south, it's come in cotton, it's come in rice, it's come in wheat, it's come in land that really isn't that arable. So I think 150 yield is reasonable. It gives you a 12 billion crop and will consume somewhere around 12.5, 12.6. So we're going to take away from carryout a lot this year.
Vic, do you have a different opinion?
No, but I just wanted to add that the near-term weather is somewhat problematic, and there's also the possibility, the increased possibility, of some weather problems during the heart of the growing season because of La Nina. Several forecasters think that there's a good chance we're going to develop a La Nina event this coming summer, and if that's the case, that's going to be a definite bullish influence for the corn market.
How is the trade at this point feeling about the corn market in general? Is it really reining up for a big bull market based on weather, or is it not looking quite that far ahead yet?
I think the mood swings on the floor among various traders are just as volatile as the market itself. And on any given day, they could be very bullish looking ahead. Other days, very bearish. I mean, we've had some enormous limit up, limit down moves in corn, and it's only April. So that suggests to me that we're going to have an enormous volatility. They've really cranked up the volatility in the corn options pit, and I think we're in for a huge spring and summer with big price swings either way, depending on the weather.
I think that we have seen a dramatic, a major, maybe a monumental shift in ownership in the corn market in the last 30, 45 days. You've gone from a fund length, from a CTA fund length, and from a macro fund length to a commercial fund length, to a commercial length. The funds, the trend following funds are out. The commercials are long. The commercials took the ownership from the fund, and they now own the corn, and they're not going to let it go.
You agree? Commercials own this crop?
I certainly agree that the trend following the index fund long has shrunk with the reality of this record corn acreage increase and what at a trend yield it suggests about new crop stocks in 07, 08. In baseball term, we're not even at first base here on the 2007 corn crop. We've got a lot of innings to play. The weekend weather forecasts are going to be just critical to how this trade opens on Sunday night. There'll be a lot of interest in Sunday night weather. And, as we move forward, I think there's an old trading adage, you know, that trading is like fencing. There's the quick and the dead. I think this is a tough time of year to have fixed opinions on either what the weather is going to do, planning conditions, and as Victor said, you know, the mood swings on the floor and among hedge fund managers and what the corn market's going to do. So for now, I think the most appropriate approach is simply to trade the ranges, but to be prepared for what Tommy Schuff says here about the potential for shrinkage in corn acres, a lower than expected yield. Todd, last year, let's not forget this, last year between the September and the final crop report, the USDA lowered the corn crop 600 million bushels. That came out of nowhere. It doubled the price of corn. And we have had this frequency of warm summers in succession. To me, it's all in place here, perhaps not for new highs imminently until we get the crop in the ground and going, but certainly support on breaks until we see just how the spring pattern unfolds and what the condition of the crop is going in the ground.
May oats at the Chicago Board of Trade finished like this week for the week. They were down 5.5 cents at $2.71. They had a high price of 87 and a low at 63.5. Over at the Merck, April live cattle down $3.40 at 97.05 a hundredweight. The high at 101.35, the low at 96.30. And the June lean hogs up $1.40 at $77 even. The high at 77.30, the bottom at 75.50. In just 2 minutes, James Barnett of Mann Financial will join us. He's a grain analyst and the Market Voice Editor.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. What happened to spring? Illinois weather this week included everything but the kitchen sink, rain, severe thunderstorms, heavy snow, and more cold air. Temperatures are running 6 to 8 degrees below normal for the first half of April. This is on the heels of a March that was the sixth warmest on record in Illinois. Easter Sunday in Illinois was actually colder than Christmas Day 2006, along with occasional flurries across the northern half of the state. Precipitation this week was normal to well above across all but southwestern Illinois. Most of the precipitation came on Tuesday and Wednesday as a strong low-pressure system moved through the state. A significant portion of the precipitation in northern Illinois was snow, with up to 8 inches of snow reported in Lake County as of Thursday morning. Fortunately, at this time of year, snow does not stick around too long. Winter's first encore should wind up early next week as temperatures return close to normal. There will be some precipitation this weekend over the southern half of Illinois as a storm heads out of the southern plains. After that, however, we should have a week of mostly dry and milder weather, which should help to begin to allow soils to dry enough for field work. The next chance for any significant precipitation will likely be next weekend, when scattered showers and thunderstorms could develop. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILO AM 580. Tom Shuff, independent trader, is with us this afternoon, along with Vic Lespinospa, A.G. Edwards, and Rich Feltus of Mann Financial. James Barnett is in the hot seat here on the 20th floor of 440 LaSalle Street. He's the market voice editor and grain analyst for Mann Global Research. James, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it greatly.
Pleasure to be here, Todd.
All right. You listened to a good deal of the first part of the show. Anything that was definitely right beside that which your boss happened to say?
Well, I agree that, first, I think long-term, what we're sitting in is a long-term demand market. This is a multi-year demand market. It's being driven by ethanol and industrial production of corn, also to a degree biodiesel, which will be building over the next several years globally. That, I think, still in the big picture becomes the story. How we get there in this bull market, well, we're seeing some interesting trade, some very erratic trade, and some people have regarded the rally starting last fall as a sprint, and they all built up their longs and we surged to these record fund longs and record index longs. Other people now are trying to hold in, and I think they're looking at it as a marathon, and I think both those perspectives are not the right way to look at the market. I would look at it more as a steeplechase, and that is we're going to have plenty of opportunities here, but there are going to be stops and starts. There's going to be erratic trade, and that you do as well looking at some of the market structure, what people are doing in the market, as the fundamentals to dictate where the next 50 cents or a dollar in this market could be.
Do you mean market structure by the things that we talked about already? For instance, the switch in ownership that Tom Shuff talks about?
I agree with Tom totally. I kind of disagree with his conclusion as to where the funds are sitting now. I just went and grabbed – I have a little advantage of you. I went and I looked at the CFTC report, and it showed 275,000 net longs by directional funds in the corn market and about 100,000, just under 100,000 in the beans. What I would say is that when you see a – typically these funds react more than anything to market price action. And when you see – the signals we've sent in both the bean and the corn markets, namely below key moving averages, starting to turn downward, at the very least you get a real flush out, meaning a flush out where the net positions are close to even. I don't expect them to be even in this kind of a long-term bull market, but I have not seen the kind of liquidation that I think you need to see to think that the spring lows are in.
I think the commitment of traders report can be misleading. And I think it started to become misleading back in 1986, 87, when the options market became a function. It became very misleading when the index funds were combined together with the commercial. Now, that's broken out. When you have had the kind of break that you have had in the corn market from the last several from the March 30th crop report until now, there are no trend funds that are long. They're not going to sit through that kind of a break, okay? The 280,000 contract long is a swap, okay? It's a hedge fund swap. The banks have taken the position in our market to offset their swap. To me, it's not a long. No, it's very misleading. If anything, the CTA funds are short the corn market. The index funds are long, but they're going to be there forever, okay? That's going to be a constant roll. Okay, that'll give you pressure in the front. That'll give you length in the back. Okay, when they make the roll, but the CTA funds are short corn, and this 285 I think is enormously misleading.
That's an interesting point, and if you're right, that would indicate we probably are close to a low. I would submit that there's still a lot of money. Maybe it's New York money. Maybe it's not the traditional grain long. But that there's a lot of money in this market that's speculative in essence and is underwater. And the question is, how long do they hold on to this? If it's an absolute pure index, but what you can see actually from the last index report that came out, I haven't looked at this Friday's, but last Friday's, is for the first time really ever, you've seen a significant pullback in index longs in corn. And I think that reflects that even some of these New York guys whose pockets are supposed to be that deep, maybe they're not that deep. And maybe they have to take a hit too. And I think long term, over the course of several years, years. There's a lot of money to be made in this grain market, but you're not going to be you're not going to make it that easily. The market's not going to let you make it that easily. And I guess what I'm saying here, and what I'm looking for the next 30 or 60 days, is I'm hoping we get this real flush out where you walk and look into a CFTC report and see a fund long of 100,000 or something like that in the corn, a fund long of not more than 50 in the beans. Maybe then enough of these guys are out. Then the next side of the story is planting. Now, the last year we had a late planting season in the Midwest was 1996. And the reason for this was one of the major reasons for this is technology. We've tiled the fields. We've got these planters that can basically do the majority of the crop in a week. And so it's very hard to get a late planting season. So what I expect is when all is said and done, we may have problems. If we come in a week from Monday and folks aren't able to get out in the field, you can bet we're going to rally. We're going to surge. But if we don't get that rain, and if they can get out in the field that last week of April and get most of the crop in the ground the last week of April and the first week of May, I'd say corn has another 30 to 50 cents to the downside, and then it becomes a great buying opportunity. But I don't want to jump ahead of what looks to me like just fundamentally in terms of the likelihood of the crop getting in the ground, and with this remaining residual long that's very persistent, I'd like to see that get blown out. And hopefully we get this good weather, and then the farmer gets off to a great start, and B, the market is ready for some great summer volatility, and there's lots of buying opportunities.
James, one place that it has been pretty easy to make money of late, it's been better than owning a gold mine, is to be long oil and short meal.
Yeah.
And again today, that was a stellar performer. Oil share is going to the moon. How much further do you think this can go?
I think you really hit on really has been a dynamic trade for the last few months, Vic, and I'd agree with you. And I think what we're seeing long term is the potential shift in the crushing of oil, both of edible oils in general, from one that favors meal to one that favors oil, and that's based on the long term prospects for biodiesel. And you have to ask this question. Has that tipping point been reached? Typically what happens is you get oil share up close to 50%. Well, you generally crush for meal. Meal is the driver of oil share, and so it does not stay there for very long. You typically get very choppy trade up here in the mid-high 40s, and then what happens is it eventually breaks sharply because at some point, the crushing industry goes back to crushing for meal. And certainly over the last several years, what you've seen is both domestically and globally a big increase in need and the need for edible protein for feed. And that's been the dynamo in this bean market. But in the last several months, you're seeing this start to change. And what you're starting to see is all the government mandates for biodiesel. And government mandates are much less price sensitive than open market factors. And if the government mandates a certain level of biodiesel in Europe and in the U.S. and in Asia and in South America, that's going to happen. And I think the market is anticipating that. Even though we have near record stocks of soy oil in this country, the fact is that people want to own it. And they want to own it because they can look 2, 3, 4 years down the road and they can see that this is a train wreck about to happen. It's a world about to run short of edible oils because we want to put them in our cars. And as long as the government wants that, that makes that dynamism. And then the last point, and I'll be done, is the last question is, can we get above 50? And if we get above 50 and we stay there, what happens? Does meal become a residual component of does it become a byproduct and everyone starts crushing for oil? And then what happens to the price of meal? Does it become like DDGs with ethanol? I'm not saying we're there, but I'm saying we're getting close to having to start thinking about these questions.
James, I know you're packing your bag soon and heading for San Antonio to talk to a distinguished gathering of market analysts. And I know we're talking about here the long-range several-year outlook, but let's bring this down here the next several months. You've got some trade ideas for this audience. Could you share some of those with us?
Sure. First thing I'd say is I expect over the next 60 days – for the bear trend in the beans to continue. But how you play this heading into the summer, I think, is we still are going to have a very volatile summer market based on a few reasons. First, there's our weathermen, CropCast. I was at a conference just a couple weeks ago, and they would agree with Tom, with your weather assessment, that basically we have a better-than-average chance of having a hot, dry summer in the Midwest. It's not going to be extreme or uniform, but they did 7 corollaries in terms of likely yield scenarios. And the 7 years they did, and 4 of those corollaries, we had below-trend yields. We had 2 at trend and 1 above trend. So the odds are good, according to this weather scenario, that the yield is going to be at least a little bit below trend. So that's one thing. You get some heat, and you're going to have increased weather volatility. And how do you take advantage of that? Well, on these breaks, you start buying in and slightly out of the money nov calls. The volatility in the beans is not near as high as it is, for instance, in wheat and some of the other commodities. And you can take advantage of this low volatility and own some calls. Another opportunity, this is more obscure, but you have to be able to trade in Canada, but canola has been breaking pretty hard. And if you really are going to crush for oil, if oil is the dynamo of this of the market, of the bean market, it is also one where you have a 40% oil content in canola, you have a 20% oil content in beans. You can either A, own canola outright on another $10 or $15 break a ton, or else spread it against beans. That'd be another idea. The other thing I would say is that because of this long-term action in the oil market, if you're an end user, you want to buy 50 or 100 point breaks in oil whenever they happen. And in meal, because of the summer volatility, you want to extend coverage on breaks. Right now, the meal is relatively cheap, but by the time you get to August and you get through the summer weather volatility, you want to pull back from that and go hand to mouth, because there is that possibility that, again, meal becomes a residual byproduct of this whole process of crushing for oil in the long term.
Well, my comment seems sort of anticlimactic after that. If index corn open interest was down in the commitment of traders report 10,000, I bet you the oil open interest was up in the index funds 10,000. So I think there's been a conscious decision by the index funds to move from ethanol to biodiesel. And if the oil share goes to 50%, you're going to bankrupt a lot of the oil share traders down on the floor. Okay, I think that oil doesn't seem to make sense with what's going on, other than the fact that you have a lot of fun buying because they've made this conscious decision to own biodiesel and not own ethanol. Maybe it's an acreage play, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure. There's no way I'm going to be short soybeans at this point. This is a corn situation right now for the next couple of weeks. We need to get the corn crop in the ground. I mean, let's don't talk about La Nina, El Nino. Okay, we need to get the crop in the ground right now, and then we can worry about whether or not we have a weather problem. I mean, was it Lou Thompson that's got the 18.6 lunar cycle? This is the second year, which is usually the bad year. The last time we had this was when? 1988. So we're due, okay? I mean, you can look at that. You can look at, the volcanic activity. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we can look at. But I think the issue at hand right now is to get this crop planted, this corn crop. And it's being threatened.
Boy, it's been fun. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. We appreciate all of you being on hand with us. Any final word of wisdom? And we'll go around the horn, and we'll start with you, Vic Lespinos of A.G. Edwards.
Well, I think it's going to be a fabulous time to be involved in the markets for speculators, and it's a very necessary time, I think, to be involved in the markets for hedgers because of the increased volatility, the potential for enormous price swings either way, and if the weather doesn't cooperate, for a very substantial rally over coming months in wheat, corn, and beans.
Tom Schuff?
I agree with Vic. I think that we're going to see unprecedented opportunities, unprecedented price swings. I think we're going to have to watch the weather, because this is the mother of all weather markets, and you just have to stay tuned.
James Barnett.
I agree with both Tom and Vic. I think it's a dynamic time in the grain industry. I would just agree that corn is still the engine for the next 24 months. Corn has the demand story, and it's going to be driving the bull market. And then my other point would be to reiterate: it's not a sprint and it's not a marathon; it's a steeplechase. And there may be a water hazard or something to jump over right ahead. You got to be careful, but over the longer term, I think. think it's a market that corn's going to lead a break out to new highs at some point in the next 12 months.
And our cordial host at 440 LaSalle Street, Rich Feltes of Mann Financial.
Well, just to tie this all together, I would suggest that everybody be mindful that just how quickly these markets discount information. And remember that, you know, the rule about yesterday's newspaper and overripe bananas, these markets are just incredibly efficient at building in weather and discounting it into the price. However, having said that, I think there will be and continue to be opportunities around our crop reports. And to that end, I would advise folks to be aware of what the market is expecting on a crop report. And if there is a significant deviation from expectations, we will see dramatic follow-through in the, you know, the against the direction that the market has been leaning. Look what happened after the September and October crop reports with additional follow-through. Look how long it took us to adjust to the additional acreage surprise on the March 30th crop report. So it's a volatile time. It's a dangerous time. But just trading the crop reports and keeping your head on your shoulders, I think there'll be some profits to be had.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. And, of course, you can find all the USDA reports there before and after they are released if you'd like to know what the expectations might be, as Rich Feltes has just suggested. You can visit willag.org. You'll also pick up Commodity Week there. It's our weekly analysis, cash grain reports, and the weather, and the feature interviews, all at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.